listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, August 14th, 2019. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. I didn't mess up your name at all. Welcome to those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, we also offer several other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, tonight, our topic's going to be the law of attraction and deliberate intent, and I'm really looking forward to it, but as always, we're going to start with our nine principles of belief, and those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives the death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence.
Are you there?
I'm here. I lost my mic for a moment.
Yeah, if anybody wants more information on the principles of belief, just go to our website and metaphysicalhumanism.org, and you can get all of them. A good job, Michael.
Oh, thank you.
It was.
I run on props.
Okay. I lose my mic, too. Usually I'm talking and it's muted. That's dumb. Tonight we're going to talk about... that topic of law of attraction and combining that with deliberate intent. And I think the two really do have to go together if we want to focus and project. But I think I'd like to start this off with a question that everybody will have is, how come some people get what they want and other people don't? Well, it does seem to happen that way. Some people just... put it out there and get what they want and manifest and that's that, whatever they want. Other people have to work a little harder. So I think the first thing I would like to say is being realistic. You know, and we have to look at the nature of one's life. We have to look at the reality of one's life. If you're living in the Amazon and you decide, well, I'd like to project for a mansion, it's kind of not likely going to happen. You know, so it's relative to the nature. I always say everybody has their own ride in life. You're born into a reality and you have the nature of your ride, so to speak.
Well, and you made a point, it's relative. And I'd been thinking that, just like you had said, being in the middle of the rainforest wishing for a mansion isn't exactly going to happen. When we put our intent, when we put our ourselves out into the world and what we want, and we really put that energy out there, we're putting influence into the world, but there's already a mass of other influences and other things. There's already a momentum of the world, of existence, of things. So, I mean, it alters it, but you can't exactly, you know, create something from nothing.
Well, first of all, like does attract like. There's no question.
Absolutely.
That myth of opposites attract isn't, in the law of physics, not true. I think that that's just some kind of wives' tale that got passed down after
a while. I don't think opposites attract is really true in anything, is it?
No.
I mean magnets, but...
Yeah, there still has to be, let's say it's two people who are very different in their in their personas and their characters, they'd still have to have a frequency that's the same to pull them together. So like attracts like in a frequency. And, you know, that's a tough one, too, if we're looking to say, well, how come I always attract this kind of man or woman? Well, there's something in us. There's a frequency in us. I always call it the thread in a blanket. Mm. You know, that one thread seems to be a neon light. You know? So you have to isolate what that is, what that frequency is, and, you know, pull it out, address it, and replace it with a thread that's more in keeping with your blanket, meaning your nature. So like does attract like, and when we have an energy in ourselves and our thoughts, very often, though, we have thoughts that we're not fully conscious of, and I think that's where we partner with deliberate intent. So the first one being, obviously, opportunity. I think opportunity has a lot to do with it. The mm-hmm. nature of one's reality, and then how we articulate and deliberate with our language and our thoughts. I mean, look, I think it's pretty common knowledge now that what we think and what we say and then how we feel are often three different things.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes more.
Well, and yeah. Go ahead.
And, you know, that's what it is about what I mean by relative is your... A lot of times, you have those different layers to your consciousness, and you don't always know where a feeling or an urge is coming from. Sometimes you have to get to the root of it. You were talking about people that kind of consistently get into those, why do I get into these bad relationships? And you hit it on the nail on the head. It's because of the energy that you're putting out, and also because of what energy you're attracted to. And it's awareness will allow you to begin to shift your intent, your what you're attracting and what you're putting out there for others to be attracted to. And it's only with awareness that you can really begin to have any meaningful change or any real meaningful, well, I hate to say free will, but I mean, but you know what I mean. You have to get to that certain level of awareness to really truly know that what you're doing in the first place.
Which I think is very different from, and we have to address the fact that life will happen, mm-hmm. and not everything has to do with us except for the fact that we're in a shared space.
Right.
You know? It's I'm driving my car fine, going across town, and somebody, you know, kind of runs through a red light. And, I mean, there's so many variables to that, but... basically, it stops traffic, doesn't it? So, I mean, we are in this shared space and we're navigating our way through with our deliberate intent mm-hmm. of, I want to get across town. So that I'm deliberating that and I'm on my way and I'm going. So then there's that defensive driving thing that we
right.
should all be learning. And I think life is much the same way without doing harm and trying to continue to do the right thing, which I think in a very competitive world, people really believe that in order to succeed, in order to move forward, that they have to become, forget about the little guy, you know, mm-hmm. and step or walk all over people. And if you're really of conscience, and maybe a little too much conscience, you're not going to move forward because you're afraid of hurting everybody that you come across, you know?
Well, and it's, I'm sorry, but to me, it's a cop-out to say that it's a dog-eat-dog world and you have to do whatever it takes to get ahead. No, you don't. You don't.
I agree.
You don't have to do that at all. It's the lazy way out. I mean, don't you think that everybody has that option? That, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, it takes somebody with guts or, you know, it takes a tough person to do, you know, certain things because you got to be harsh. But you don't. You don't have to be harsh. You have to be wise and assertive and do what you need to do sometimes. But you don't have to be cruel in this world. You don't have to step on other people. And to say that you do is just an excuse to rationalize your behavior. And
I completely agree with you.
It's kind of a little aside, but...
But that's when people get a deliberate intent. Mm-hmm. They believe that that means to be aggressive or forward. And I think a deliberate intent is about setting a focus of what you want and not trying to control necessarily how you get there. Because as we were saying, there's all these layers to ourselves. And there's so many ways. Like, I can be assured I'm going to get across town. I want to get to Walmart, for instance. I'm going to get there, but there's a little detour, or, you know, there's more red lights than usual. Who cares? Mm-hmm. But I'm still going to get to Walmart. So if I'm trying to control how I get to Walmart and in what amount of time I'm going to get to Walmart, I'm going to mess up, and I might be one of those people running the red light. So to have a deliberate intent is I know I'm going to Walmart. But to be open, flexible, and self-managing as I get there. Which then I always say, okay, if I've tried 3 times to go to Walmart today and something's come up, I should just stay home. You know? And that's kind of my rule for life. If you make 3 big efforts into a project or into some, you know, a particular, whatever it is that you're doing, and it's not quite working, now it just means then you haven't met opportunity, or it's the expression of what you want that needs to be a little bit flexible.
Yeah.
So we only dream within our reality, and sometimes we have to think outside that box to achieve what we want.
Well, and sometimes we have to have imagination to realize what is truly possible in an infinite world, which is that, you know, the balance, and something I always come back to. I was thinking about, well, you know, you can't create something from nothing, but sometimes you can. And one thing I've always adhered to is there is nothing in this world that is true all of the time.
I agree.
But
completely.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about our discussion from a couple of weeks ago. We talked about the balance between order and chaos. Yeah, you need to have a little bit of both. A little bit of chaos allows creativity, change, evolution, things like that. Too much order is rigid and strict. But if you look at kind of the law of attraction, we do live in a, at times, chaotic universe, and I think there's a balance between that inherent chaos that's existing in our universe and the deliberate intent of our will that we exert through our, you know, what we attract and what we can create.
Well, I certainly know, I completely agree, by the way. I certainly know that when life has been particularly negative, although it's really hard to face my ego, pride, and whatever else, I know that I can change a negative. I know that I am completely responsible for this, and I can decide, gee, not to go down those dark alleys and don't go out after 11. You know, mm-hmm. I'm talking just generally. To create something more positive, that's... the flip side, that's the yin and yang. And how then do I not only avoid the negative, but now how do I create and manifest more positive? Mm-hmm. And I think that this is the challenge that most people, even myself, face. Like, no matter how many lotto tickets I get, Michael, I'm just so far not winning the lotto. But here's the deal. I always have enough to get by. So you know, something manifests or something comes out, because that's number one, I believe, part of my ride. That doesn't mean I don't put in a lot of effort, because I do. Mm-hmm. But that's part of my ride. And the other is to very often wait for opportunities and being willing to take opportunities or to create opportunities, even though a lot of doors might close. And it's then, instead of going that way, I'm going to go this way or find another creative solution. And, you know, it's being able to, as I say, navigate forward. So, but not everybody meets opportunity. And furthermore, not everybody knows an opportunity when they see one.
Very true.
And I think these are the kinds of energies or frequencies that, you know, you get this great opportunity and you go into this massive self-doubt. You know? And, well, that's going to kill it, that's for sure. You know, or that's going to affect how you apply yourself. So it's that knowing who you are and that self-certainty, and to manifest outside yourself, but being willing to change and grow constantly. But I can't, I really can't stress enough about how important it is to know language and to articulate properly. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So we say emotionally and mentally, we have kind of two things going on. And we hope that it's one thing, right? Mm-hmm. We hope we're in balance in that, as you've pointed out again. But also that my words are correct and that they're articulating better. In other words, don't say things you don't mean. You know, and learn to better articulate. So, you know, it brings to mind many years ago, I had decided on my birthday to project for, I don't know why, but it was, I'm going to have $7,500 in my bank account. Well, lo and behold, it had taken a few years, but my uncle finally contacted me and said, I'm sending you a check for $7,500 from your dad's estate. Would you divide this up with your sisters? And I went, oh, that's how that works. So, you know, it's like I had it in my account for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
The flip side of that, years later, I thought, well, maybe I had an intuitive thought. Because why did I pick that number of 7,500?
Right.
Maybe it was an intuition that I would have, you know, that 7,500. Right. But it was very well articulated, and that's my point, is to have that. So you can manifest or observe how energy works, and if you're not willing to study yourself, of course, nothing's going to work. But it's also to say, let's say you say to yourself, I want a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anybody can have a relationship. Number one, what kind of relationship are you talking about? Are you talking about meeting a new friend? Okay. You want a short-term affair? Okay. So it's articulating what kind of relationship you want. So you can't just randomly, because the universe doesn't paraphrase. So we think, though, well, the universe understands what I mean. Well, if you don't understand what you mean, how can the universe articulate?
That's such an excellent point. I'm so glad you said that, because it cuts to the truth of the matter of, a lot of times people get exactly what they want and what they put out. They just don't realize it because they didn't consciously think of it that way, which makes me think about the law of attraction. And there's a metaphysical aspect to it, and there's also a very mundane kind of behavioral aspect to it. And one thing that we've been finding out more and more, and it seems like what we consider modern science is catching up to some older world concepts, but the fact that, you know, the mind working on several levels, the fact that our subconscious, it's all blended together. The mind, you know, the notion that we only use 10% of our brain power is kind of a myth. It's a misnomer. We're always using our full brain power because we're always multitasking. We're always doing an incredible number of things. Our subconscious is actively working on a problem that we're thinking about always in the background without you giving it active thought, which is why you've had so many eureka moments and a moment of boredom. It's because your mind's unoccupied, you're thinking about something else, and then you have that just snap, it comes to you. It's because your mind's been working on it the entire time in the background. It's It's how we think. It's how we function. And
exactly.
When we, it's one thing ties into the other. Those subconscious thoughts, that background processing that our brain does, it ties into our conscious thoughts and vice versa. What we consciously think about is what's going to drive that. And when you think about positive things, you think about positive goals, your mind will work on it while you're asleep, in your dreams, all the time. Your brain is active at it. And that will lead to ideas, lead to behavioral changes, lead to awareness. It will lead to things that will create change in your life and will attract the very things that you want that are healthy.
You articulated that really well, Michael. And I'm really glad you brought that up about the two aspects between the metaphysical, energetic versus our psychological, intellectual, you know, what goes in our minds, in our consciousness. You know, my late teacher in my very early study of hypnosis had a real hang up about the word try. He wouldn't let anybody use that word ever. He said, if we understand what it implies, to say I'm going to try something assumes failure.
Well, that is what you would have thought.
Well, it implies that you can fail. But if you change that wording to say give effort to, work on, putting forward, he said everything is a measure of success. And he would say change your unconscious, subconscious mind into being, you know, proactive, positive, instead of hanging on to those little threads of unconscious negative. Because anybody can fail. Oh, Dr. Edward, thanks for saying that. Yoda had an issue with try to.
Exactly.
It's true. So anybody can fail, and anybody can succeed. But if you look at your day, you're always failing and you're always succeeding. And in every little thing, that's because we are at work. You know, we're always at work in our daily life. The thing is, when we decide we want to manifest something, it's usually bigger, greater, more than where we're at. So then how do you get from here to there? Well, it's to change the unconscious mind. Allow that to filter around. And very often it's about giving it time, you know.
And a lot of times, if you clear your mind, think about something else, something mundane, you know, just clean, do some, you know, something, read something that's just kind of light, just do work on a puzzle, a Sudoku or something. A lot of times in those moments, inspiration will come because it gives your mind the resources it needs to really do that processing in the background there. I mean, history is replete with scientists, philosophers having these amazing moments in those mundane times because, you know, for example, Albert Einstein in the patent office, you know, devising his theories. And, you know, in those moments of meditation, the Buddha as an example, that deep meditation of clearing your mind, allowing these inspirations to come. It's all layered there, and it's been known for thousands of years. And we're catching up to it in a modern sense.
I agree. So I think it's a good suggestion for anybody, and I have to have this dialogue with myself often, really, is take a step. You have to not only have the thought, you have to have the action behind that thought. So it's mentally, emotionally, I think spiritually, always include that, but physically. So if you're projecting for what you want, be deliberate and have an action behind it. So, yeah, I want to go to Walmart, but I still have to get out at my house and go do my car. So, you know, it's you have to take that first step. If I sit around here thinking, man, I really want to go to Walmart today, but, yeah, I get sidetracked. It's so easy for me to get sidetracked. And, oh, wow, look at the time. Walmart's going to be too busy now. Well, I'll go tomorrow. You see, we have those things going on in our lives all the time that distract us, sidetrack us. So it's to have a thought and to do And again, to be try to articulate. I see I used that word try. That was a faux pas on my part. Put your thought out there for what you'd like to achieve, and then see what small steps you can put into your life that gets a momentum going. Because sometimes you just have to get the energy started and then follow the yellow brick road, as I say, as long as you're moving forward. So you're now, the law of attraction is you're going to catch a frequency and always be self-awake to know what do I need to look at in myself to now keep this momentum going. Just stay aware of your surroundings. Stay aware of opportunity. And just because somebody offers you something doesn't mean you have to say yes. Sometimes the opportunity is in knowing when to say no. It's really important, because if it's not in keeping with your frequency and where you want to get, you know, then you have to be willing to say no.
Well, and you don't have to make everybody happy. There is, you know. Everybody has a right to their own life and to live it as they see fit. And, you know, another thing comes to mind, the old cliche that, you know, don't let life happen to you, happen to life. Because whether or not you put deliberate intent out into the world's going to continue to spin, life's going to continue to move on, and things are going to happen, and you can decide whether or not you have a hand in how it turns out.
Oh, it's such a powerful statement there.
Oh, come on, that's two big compliments.
No, well, it is. It's a powerful statement, because life's going to happen anyway. And it's how we respond to it, mm-hmm. how we turn that into an opportunity or a learning curve that you now assimilate into your being to continue to move forward. You know, look, bad things are going to happen, mm-hmm. but you're only a victim so long as it's happening. Once it's passed, you can look back and say, I was victimized for that moment, but it's not happening right now. So what am I going to do with that? Do I need to lick my wounds? Okay. Do I need to process this? Do I need to reach out for help? And accepting that stuff is going to happen in life. But that's not going to, I know it's cliche, it's not going to define me. I'm deciding now how much greater, more, and improved I am as a result of how I respond. And continue to move forward along your objective, mm-hmm. along your pathway. Good stuff, well, Mike.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, just really for me, realizing that the world didn't revolve around me really helped me put a lot of things in perspective. And I tell you, ever since I learned that lesson, it's just, it's been a great 4 or 5 days. And
it's true, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, it does. It helps you really, oh, okay, yeah. It's not about me. The world continues to go, you know? And it's a really powerful message,
yeah.
But
I think the other thing to keep in mind is that whatever pain I'm going through at this moment, it's my pain, not somebody else's. And I don't want anybody stealing my joy any more than I want them stealing my pain. So it's, you know, there's time to share that with others, and hopefully with, being careful about who you share stuff with.
Yeah.
And to continue to move forward. So, so anybody, if you'd like your card pull, we're going to do that right away, as Michael said in the chat. So please put your name in there. Dr. Angie said they can have my pain for free if they want it. Well, I think this is all part of ownership, right? If I own my pain, I'm owning my thoughts. I'm owning my experience. I'm owning that as I move forward. And it's not narcissistic to say that. It's just taking ownership of who I am. The world doesn't revolve around me that I need to go and flaunt my pain everywhere or get attention in negative ways that feeds that. What we do is have to be a little more selective and be who you are as freely as possible, but again, owning our stuff. And that helps us to be more like clearer in how we articulate our deliberate intent. Mm-hmm. And it really is about learning language to be able to articulate how you feel, taking thought, like taking those moments to find the words for it if you need to, or just feel it and release it. But again, that will help you to deliberate the positive. So where do I want to go from here? To be deliberate. And then put your whole energy into that forward. So. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, really understanding what having healthy expectations about success and defining that success. Just like you said, I believe you had said earlier, do or do not, there is no try. Is that what we had talked about?
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah,
a little nod, but to those in the know, but yeah, you're right. It's about how we verbalize these things, the words that we use. It does feed into our subconscious, and you know there's truth to that.
You know, it's really hard to be accountable for our words. I'd just like to share a little story of a client that came to me many years ago. And she had said, I do not want you to tell me anything about relationships. I said, okay. I don't want to know if I'm going to get married. I don't want to know about men coming into my life. I don't want to know about it. And I said, okay, no problem. So as I did the reading, and then I said, do you have any questions? Well, what about the man that I'm seeing? I said, what about him? And she said, well, what's going to happen? I said, you told me you didn't want to know about relationships. Yeah, but I'm seeing him. Okay, what does that mean to me?
Like, right.
I don't know. You see, and I was holding her accountable in that moment. Not only that, I was going to get in trouble any which way I went with this, right? So it's...
I think it's a prime example of somebody that did not properly communicate their expectations what they were actually looking for.
She was making a statement. She felt something, thought something else, and said something completely different. So there's so many things going on there. What have I got to deal with? It's the action. I have to deal with the action. The action is she said this to me. I'm sticking to that. I can't assume she feels one way. I can't assume she thinks another thing. And this, I think, is something that gets everybody into trouble. We assume a behavior means something else. We assume that one thing leads to another. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. We assume somebody else knows how we feel. We assume they know what we're thinking.
Well,
it's deliberate intent. You know, when we make a statement, we're going to be held accountable, we hope.
Exactly. And when we express our intent with clarity, there's no need for assumptions, because we all know what happens when you make assumptions.
Exactly. But imagine if we're confused as people together. Imagine how confused the energy frequencies of the universe are. Man, the universe is so confused.
We're all trying to figure it out together.
Yeah, we will. So, all right, should we start drawing some cards? Michael, I really enjoyed tonight's conversation. Thanks for that.
Oh, always a pleasure. And absolutely.
Good discussions. Do you want to pick a card for Dr. Edward, please?
Be happy to. And... first card for this evening is number 23, Meaning and Purpose.
Always a good one.
Yeah, I don't think we've pulled this a little bit. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of one's life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning.
This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
It's always a really good message in anything that we pull, but that one in particular. Heather, I think you're going to like this one that I just drew for you, too. Number 10, in the existential suit. And by the way, for those who are new to the program, this is the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery Cards, available on the website, of course, if you don't have your own deck and you're interested. So, Heather, the indomitable power of the human spirit. I think that's in keeping, really, with our topic tonight, too. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you're a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing's out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way. So again, law of attraction, deliberate intent. We all have, and I have, with every fiber of my being, I believe that our spirit gives us that will and that desire, that hopefulness and that energy to keep going. And sometimes we have to get out of the way and to let that happen and just, you know, apply ourselves as the will of spirit wants to go. And remember, the human spirit's unequaled in power. So whatever mm-hmm. you're applying yourself to, Heather, you've got whatever it takes to overcome and move forward. So Wendy is next, Michael, that I can see.
Yep, and for Wendy, I pulled number 32, Sympathy and Empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind of paying it forward. Sympathy, or sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, or relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so.
Hmm. I like that, the difference between sympathy and empathy, that description.
I was just going to say similar, but the differences are important.
They are. Dr. Angie, I know you're saying in the chat, Dr. Angie, about you don't have the skills to decode human intent. It's not the intent. What do people intend? Again, we have to go by actions. When we live in a physical world of shared space, I think what happens, and you were talking about in the chat room, is that you do deal with people by how they behave, and then they get upset. But that's because they don't know what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to soften it. And as Dr. Doug Kelly would say, using word softeners or, you know, finding other ways to approach rather than straight on. I have a tendency to go straight on. I paraphrase back to people. She says, I'm dealing with that issue right now. People say something that means something else. You just ask what they mean by that. And because what I hear is this, when you say it like that, and they're still going to get frustrated, but you say, I really need you to explain it to me. And I take the high road to say, okay, I'm dumb, I don't get it. But what it is, it opens dialogue so people can educate and elevate the level of communication. And that's what kind of has to happen. Because we all, in some measure, don't know what we're talking about.
I know I don't.
So, we know what we want to talk about, but how to say that. And, you know, I think for the grace of age and experience and dealing with people and owning my own crap, I got a little better at it, but there's still times that I have to bite my tongue. I have to, you know, find a softener for it, because part of it is I see A to B. I don't do A and a half and A and three quarters and then go back to A before I get to B. And I don't like the assumptions that going forward. So anyway, it takes some skill. So just paraphrase and ask. Okay. And whatever you make sense of things, just say, well, if this is that, then that must also be this. So you're using deductive and inductive reasoning. And because then when people get things pointed out to them in that kind of a way, generally their dots start to connect. So, again, it's all about energy and what that deliberate intent is, and we have to get clearer. So, Dr. Angie, I am selecting a card for you right now. Oh, I can't believe this. I just picked sympathy and empathy. I kid you not. So, like, that's a double effort there. I am just going to take a little, peek at that one just to reiterate it, and I'll pick another one for you, Dr. Angie. Mercy's compassion in action and fulfills a kind of act, paying it forwards. Sympathy requires, which is sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy relates to another's plight. Each requires need, compassion, and action to fulfill the soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. So, it's whatever situation you're dealing with, you have to decide which requires that investment of energy and which doesn't. But what I did in a support, I did pick a support card for you in that, which is 12, spirit, cosmos, and divine energy. So maybe this is a reminder that sometimes we have to take things up to a higher level. When it doesn't make sense down here, just kind of raise it up a little bit. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self, and that's within the context of the greater universe. You're growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play. So it's kind of discern it from all these different levels that that serves you the best and others to the best of your ability. If you're in a situation where you say, maybe this isn't going anywhere, you need to just let it go. So that's your relationship with yourself, and it's like bigger than you. I would say, give it to the give it to the universe or your higher consciousness.
Good thing that it goes right back to our conversation. But
well, it does, doesn't it?
It does. And they have. And tell me if this means anything. I was, kind of going, shuffling through my cards, flipping through them, and actually, right as you said, number 12, spirit, cosmos, divine energy. I happened to come across it. I happen to be just.
We are in sync, Michael.
I'm telling you.
Well, I think this is where, if we talk about quantum entanglement there, because that's really critical in the law of attraction, is that you're entangling. And we haven't really talked about that and addressed that term in this program tonight, which I think we'd be remiss not to do that. And
I agree.
We become entangled with the thought or the goal or the energy. So you pulled out sympathy, empathy. I did. I pulled out spirit, cosmos, divine energy. You did. But we also are entangled with the people in the program tonight, and whoever's in the chat room, other people are listening. You know, we're entangled together. So thanks, Wendy. She says, I could listen to y'all all night. That's nice of you. Well, sometimes I could listen to myself all night, too. I'm kidding. So I think that's a really important observation that we need to make about when there are entanglements going on, then we can create other entanglements. You know, we can create that with thought. And with energy, yeah, we have the metaphysical and we have the intellectual mind, but it's to create the energy.
Absolutely. And, I'd been hoping somebody would pull this one randomly, but remind me, did we already go over the card deliberate intent this evening when we were talking?
We did not. Do you have it handy, Michael?
I do.
Read it? Go ahead, please.
I think it'd be a great note to go out on is to kind of Absolutely. Cap our discussion.
Good.
And this is number 20 in Oracle deck in the spirituality suit. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Yep, and patience is a key there, too, because we can't get to Walmart in 5 minutes when it's a 15-minute drive.
Well, maybe you can't. But
That's true. Well, you know, I really hope everybody has enjoyed the program. Tomorrow's a full moon. It's what they call a sturgeon moon, which is abundance, you know, where it's that time of the year. And I'm excited about it. We've come out the last couple of weeks from a black new moon, and on the 11th was all these other planetary shifts, and now we have a full moon. Energy is moving. I love full moons. I have a moment where I project, and because everything is abundant in that moment, it's full. So think of a seeds being planted. So take a moment tomorrow, if you will. Like, actually, we're in the full moon phase now. It's the waxing and the waning of the moon. So, you know, put it out there. Project for what you would like and entangle yourself.
I'm so happy that you brought that up. And it's been a fantastic discussion tonight. As always, I've been really enjoying them with you. And I think we have a few more while Dr. Kelly's on hiatus. And
awesome.
I think we're going to have a fantastic, fascinating, exciting, deliberate and intending discussion topic next week.
And by the way, for those who know, Dr. Kelly is just on hiatus from the program and a few other things, but he is full-time in the school, not to worry about that at all. He's just taking a little downtime in some other things and catching up with himself. So that's why Michael and I are here, and mm-hmm. we're so glad to spend the summer with you. So Dr. Kelly will be, he'll be back whenever he wants to.
We'll
maybe
see
how
it
goes. Maybe we should have him as a guest.
There you go.
Have a good week, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Goodbye.